Knives, machetes, saws, and shears. Multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Welcome back to the Palin Finn Podcast Network. We're brought to you by Yak Gadget. For all your fine quality kayak fishing accessories, go to yakgadget.com. Pelican cases, coolers, and lighting. Go to pelican.com. And the 153 Bait Company. For all your hard and soft bait needs, go to the153angler.com. So join with me as together we dive into the tips and techniques that will help make us better anglers out on the water. Welcome back, everyone, to another awesome episode of Bass Fishing for Noobs here on the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. I'm your host, Sean Lavery. Joining me tonight is someone who's been on the podcast before, not first time on the Noob Show, I believe, but he's been on the show, on the OG show with Mr. Brian Schiller. But tonight, I'd like to welcome Mr. Tyler Thiede. Did I say that right? Is it Thiede
you
or
did. Thiede? You did. Awesome. You got the German name proper. Yes. Yes.
Great. I was like thinking about that before I brought you in. I was like, I should have asked him that before I brought him in.
I've been called worse, so it's fine.
Even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. Well, welcome to the Noob Show, sir.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
No problem. So for the folks who didn't get to hear you on the OG show, why don't you let them know who you are, where you're from, kind of how you got into kayak fishing and fishing in general, if you want.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, my name's Tyler Thiede. I live in currently in Northwest Wisconsin, kind of between the biggest cities are probably like Eau Claire and Hudson, like halfway between there. So I'm, you know, close to Northern Wisconsin, close to the cities, the Twin Cities in Minnesota. Kind of got into fishing as a kid. I grew up down in Southwest Wisconsin, down by Madison, kind of the Driftless area. So a lot of fishing around there. There's a pond by my parents' house growing up. I used to walk down there and, you know, chuck some baits and stuff. Kayak fishing, I got into that a while ago. I moved to Spring Valley for my day job. I'm an IT consultant. I had to be so close to my work. And we were looking for a place to live. We found this little town. We don't even have a stoplight. You know, we used to live in Madison city area and stuff like that. We had to raise a family in a small town. They have a little man-made reservoir here, just epic bass fishing and some nice pike and trout, and it's just gorgeous. Reminded me of the Driftless area. And my father-in-law got me a John boat, got into that, was looking to get a fishing boat, and my cousin at the time was working for Bending Branches, the paddle company, which isn't far from here, 45 minutes, and he goes, hey, you should look into kayak fishing. Really? So got a kayak. It was a feel-free lure. I'm now on their fishing team, on the Bending Branches fishing team too. And I got rid of the John boat and I haven't looked for a fishing boat since. So just absolutely love it.
Awesome. Cool. And you got on both Bending Branches and Feel Free. So that's pretty cool. What kind of drew you to Feel Free?
I talked to my cousin. I didn't know much about kayak fishing. I'd heard of it and stuff. And him working in the industry, he goes, well, you know, I would look at like Feel Free, Jackson, he mentioned, and a few others. And, you know, I looked at Feel Free. I got chronic back issues in their gravity seat. I mean, that drew me to it. I've sat in their seat on the Mississippi backwaters for 15 plus hours and been fine. Plus the wheel and the keel is pretty sweet for launching. Yeah. And, you know, bang for the buck was there. And, you know, I'm a dealer for Feel Free now in this area, about the last 5 years or so. Just excellent customer service, and I'm big on that. My wife used to work in customer service. She runs the day-to-day while I'm working. So just a stand-up group. I mean, bang for the buck product. You know, there's a lot of great brands out there, so to each their own, but I've kind of found my home with Feel Free.
From all the Feel Free guys that I know, they seem pretty brand loyal. I mean, I think, you know, it seems like once you hop in one, you get to fall in love with it. And they're pretty fierce defenders of the brand from all the people I know who've paddled them. So,
yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, it's because the guys at the headquarters there really take care of their people. And the people is not only the fishing team, but the customers. I mean, the customer service is just epic. And I know there's a lot of brands that have excellent customer service, but they really do take care of their customers or people. So once you get on board, you're kind of hooked based on that. And they take feedback from customers and the team. You know, there's some updates to coming to kayaks in the next season based on feedback from the team members and customers and stuff. So they make sure they keep on top of that.
Okay, cool. That sounds great. I mean, I unfortunately, when I first got into kayaking, I went and visited my local Feel Free dealer, but I was still totally new to the whole game. And, you know, I kind of balked at the price, but ended up, you know, getting a Wilderness Systems Tarpon 120 because it's basically what my wife would let me purchase, you know, budget wise. I've since now proved to her, you know, that I was serious about this and used my boats way more than, you know, she initially thought I would. She thought it was going to be another passing hobby. And she's like, there's no way I'm letting you spend a grand right off the bat. So, so unfortunately, when I first got to try them, I kind of stopped there. And I probably will revisit them at some point because just the brand loyalty alone kind of speaks for itself. But
yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, you won't see the Feel Free guys bash any other brands. We're all in it together. You know, it's a community. There's plenty of other boats, other brands out there with great features. I mean, teach their own. So,
right. And I think, you know, there's no perfect boat out there. And, right. You know, I've paddled a ton of different ones and I love lots of stuff about lots of different kayaks. You know, my Outback isn't perfect. You know, there's plenty of things that I could say I would change about it. But for right now, it gets me out on the water and helps me catch fish. So
absolutely. It's all that matters, right?
Right, right. Oh, well, one of the reasons why I reached out to you was I talked to Brian a little bit and I was asking him about people with, you know, some different skill sets. And one of the things I mentioned to him was frogging. And when I reached out to you, you said, oh, dude, I love throwing frogs. So I've been wanting to do a frog show for quite a while. So here we are.
Right on.
So I am a total noob at throwing frogs in a large part because I don't have a lot of area around me. Like I have the river. I live about a quarter mile from or 15 minutes from the Susquehanna River. Okay. So. I have that and I've seen people throw frogs like the top toad, on the river. But as far as like lily pads and mats and stuff, a lot of my water, bodies of water around me don't have that as much, but, I was talking to, one of the semi-pro guys, he considers himself a semi-pro, that runs one of our local lakes. And he was saying that he does great throwing a frog up under the overhanging brush. And I never even really gave it much thought. I was like, but he's like, yeah, it's kind of snagless. It comes out easy. And, you know, when a lot of other things would get hung up, thrown into that kind of stuff. So,
yeah,
I'm really interested in learning more. I'm still working with Brian to actually get a Douglas rod. I still don't have a heavy rod. So that's kind of the first thing in my book that I'm working on getting. I'm hoping when I go out to see him in October that I will be able to knock that notch off my list and actually have some equipment that I feel like would be worth throwing a frog on. But
nice. Yeah. Well, you're going to bear country, Illinois. Condolences.
Well, I belong to, I belong to a hunting camp upstate PA where there's plenty of bear country there too.
I mean Chicago Bears, the football
team. I got you. I'm not intimidated by that at all, man.
I had to throw that in there for Brian.
Poor Brian.
Yeah.
The Bears.
Yep.
Yeah. So if you were starting out trying to or talking to a total noob like me, where would you tell them to start with frogging?
Well, so I did guiding for a while in kayaks. I quit doing that because during COVID, I had a hard time getting actual kayaks in because of supply chain issues and stuff. So I ended up selling off my extra fleet. And then what I do have, I use for a local group that I work with, Wisconsin Heroes Outdoors, take veterans, first responders out. So, but even so, I mean, it's the same thing because you have, it's guiding, just lower pressure, right?
Yep.
They're not paying you to take them out. We have a lot of good frogging here. My local lake has thick weed mats in the summer. And then we are right on the Mississippi. I'm like 45 minutes from the Mississippi backwaters. So there's a lot of variety, and we have some smaller rivers that really don't weed up. I mean, I've had a lot of people that, I mean, the biggest thing is the biggest thing is rigging up your frog right. But the first thing obviously is the tackle. Cause someone's like, well, I can't toss a bait caster. I don't have the money for a bait caster. I don't have the money for an extra heavy rod. I use a heavy duty bait caster. It's got a tiny spindle on it. So you can put more line on it. And then I do some mono backing, and then I use 65-pound braid. I have a 7.5-foot extra heavy rod. It's kind of a broomstick. Doesn't really cast. I start out in the spring, I throw a lot of spinnerbait. And then when the water warms up, I start chucking frogs, and I have a hard time with aiming because it's such a heavy rod. But I mean, I've taken people out that aren't comfortable with bait casters, and they just take like a 6.5-foot spinning reel with like a 3,000 size spinning reel with, you know, even like 30-40 pound braid on it. And that'll get the job done. I build custom rods. That's what's in the background over here at my rod building station. And I built, a couple of years ago, a guy just, he goes, I love frog fishing, but I will not throw a bait caster. And I built for him like a 7.5-foot heavy spinning rod, and he loves it. I mean, it's not as efficient because, you know, with a bait caster, you have like a winching action, whereas a spinning, it spins to the side. It's not as efficient, but it'll get the job done. So really, it's whatever you can afford. The main thing I tell people is throw, you know, 30-40 pound braid. And I prefer like a suffix braid, the 832. It has a coating on it, so it doesn't get snarled up as much. But that'll cut through the weeds and stuff when you're hauling stuff in. You might have to play their drag a little bit. I mean, in a kayak, it's a little easier because it's more forgiving and you can actually go for a little sleigh ride and get pulled in closer to the fish. But that'll get the job done.
Okay. Well, that makes me feel a little bit better about the rods that I have. You know, I have some, like an ugly stick, I'm pretty sure I could throw it on, you know?
Oh, yeah. Those are like, I told people, get an ugly stick. It's going to have a lot of slop to it because the tips are so soft on them. But, I mean, it'll haul them in as long as you keep tension on it. I tell people the main thing, especially in a kayak, keep your drag tight, because the kayak, people are used to losing that or loosening up that drag so they don't snap the line. Well, you put heavy enough braid on, plus you're in a kayak and the boat's going to move towards the fish.
Right.
If you loosen up your drag, your boat moves, and then you might get too much slack on that frog and then lose your fish. So.
And I know there's definitely, from what I've heard and the small experiences that I've had, throwing the top toad and stuff, there's definitely some learning curve with when to set the hook, you know, with the frog. So I figured we could definitely dive into that a little bit too.
Absolutely. So, I mean, and this is where it's important, especially if you don't have like an extra heavy rod, even so on the kayak with an extra heavy rod, 65-pound braid bait caster, I have my drag as tight as it can possibly go, because when you set that hook, your whole boat moves. Whereas if you're in a big fiberglass glitter rocket, the boat's not going to move, right? So you don't have to worry about ripping the frog out of the mouth. But the main thing no matter what you're tossing. I mean, I've had like medium action spinning rods that I've given to people just to try frog fishing, because what I found is most people hate frog fishing because they can't figure it out. But then they start learning it and see these blow-ups, and it's just like the adrenaline rush, seeing the fish blow up and then pulling them in. It's like Christmas morning, you're wrapping the weeds off and stuff. Like you might have a 10-inch bass, but you're hauling in 10 pounds of slop. It's just a rush until, you know, you peel it apart. But the main thing is you have to count to three. When you see that blow up, count to three, because what happens is I got a frog here. The fish will grab, will come up and grab the tail, pull it down. Once it pulls it down, then it'll suck up the frog. If you don't wait till three, they probably still have that tail and it's caught up in the weeds. Even if you don't have weeds, it's still the same technique. And I tell people, three feels like eternity. I know you can appreciate this. When you see a huge blow up on the water, to count to three is like nightmare. Like torture. So what I tell people to do is keep your rod tip up.
Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Because then you at least have to, as you're counting one, two, three, because naturally you count really fast, you have to bring that rod tip down, tighten your slack on your line, then set the hook. So that at least gives some buffer.
By the time you do all that, you've kind of taken at least part of that three.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
You're pretty close. Now, the other main thing I see is here's a brand new frog. I think this is a Booyah pad crasher. I mean, you look at these tails. It's longer than the frog. I see this all the time. People take it right out of the package and they chuck it on the water. Well, you have 2.5, and this is their small frog. This is their small one. This is their normal size one. I have it trimmed down, but you're grabbing all tail. That's the number one thing. It drives me crazy. I see people out on the water doing that. I'm like, hey, I got scissors. Come here. What I do is I cut it at an angle here. So the longest tail is probably like half the body length or so. Here's one I got cut. But what you see is one's longer than another. So when it goes in the water, it kind of makes the frog wobble a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you don't have as much tail there for the fish to grab. So when they do that initial grab, they grab this little bit of rubber instead of, I mean, on this one, you're talking 2.5-3 inches of rubber hanging out here. I mean, your hook set, your hook ratio is going to be terrible. So that's the main thing with those typical frogs with the rubber tails. Take some scissors, cut them in an angle to be about the longest one, about 2/3, and it'll help with the action of the frog and then also your hookup percentage.
Interesting. I think I was trying to remember whether it was Tactical Bassin or where that I first heard about cutting those the legs uneven to help the walking action. Yes.
That's huge. And in the Lunker hunts, I used to like these a lot. I don't use them as much anymore. Price went up. I like the Booyah pad crashers. I'll get to that in a second as to why. But the Lunker hunts have the actual legs. I know you got one of these.
Yep.
I preferred, like up here, we got a bunch of northern pike. I preferred when a pike would take part or all the leg off. Then this thing would really walk with one leg hanging out. So...
Interesting. So, so retrieve is another thing that I was curious about, you know, and how that differs on a kayak from maybe a boat, because a lot of times if you watch a video on frogging online, mm-hmm. The guy will be standing on the front of the bass boat with his rod tip down at the water, just pulling, and sitting in a kayak, that is not an easy motion to replicate. So
no, and honestly, I see it all the time. There's tournaments all over in the Mississippi backwaters where I fish, and the guys get all mad. They're in their expensive boats, not knocking them, but they're in their jerseys. They're expensive boats, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they're just sitting there and they're just ripping it. I use a frog as a search bait.
Okay.
Like when I'm guiding, and I have a client throwing a spinnerbait or something, I'll throw a frog as a search bait and I'll reel it in slow. I might give it some taps, something like that, just to kind of give it some action. But as long as you cut those tails at an angle, just reel it in slow. It'll kind of wobble, especially if you're in lily pads or weeds or you bump it against some sticks, and then see if you get anything. If that doesn't work, kind of do more of the jerk action, but you don't need to go nuts with it. Like, just give it a little, I have bad wrists. So to even give it a flick of the wrist, I just go like this and kind of give it a twitch with the reel, just okay. Give it like a hopping sensation, but not too much. Cause I've seen it a million times. I mean, I've been fishing while there's bass boat tournaments going on, and I'm just hauling them in, mainly because my kayak can go shallower than their boats can. But all right. These guys are just ripping it, trying to, you know, imitate whatever they seen on FLW last week. And then when they see a blow up, they just rip it. I've had them actually hit me or clients with their headset. And it's like, dude, you don't need to work that hard.
When we were down in Dale Hollow, I almost hit Jimmy Skinner with a hook set that I was a little early on. That wasn't a frog. I think it was a popper or something top water, okay. But I sent it flying his way. He's like, whoa, watch out.
You do the Keanu Reeves Matrix move. I've done that to myself quite a bit, actually. I mean, it happens to the frog. Yeah. But I mean, the main thing is you don't need to work that hard. I mean, if they aren't biting, I switch colors before I start switching up my retrieve to get them more aggressive with it. But okay. Too aggressive, and you're spooking fish.
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
I know that's one thing I like about the top toad is that I can just kind of slowly retrieve that, and those back legs will just kind of kick, kick, kick.
Yes.
You know, so it's you don't even have to have a great walk the dog motion to make that work. So. Whereas this one, you're kind of doing that a little bit more.
Exactly. And that's where cutting the tail will help. But I have this Lunker Hunt with the kind of buzz bait legs on it. Mm-hmm. Same thing. Yeah, you have one. It's the same thing as a top toad. The problem with the top toads up here is we have a lot of northern pike. So one bite with a pike with their sharp teeth, that top toad's toes.
Right.
But I prefer the top toad. Like, if you don't have a lot of vegetation or a lot of toothy fish, or you have a bunch of extras, over the Lunker Hunt, only because these spin at any kind of weeds at all, and it just gets hung up. Plus, they have this trailer hook on them that mm-hmm. if you land on anything upside down, you're snagged. So the top toad works good for that. Plus, they're semi-buoyant. They float, but they sink very slowly. But yeah, that's a good one for... if you don't have a lot of vegetation, but you want, you know, if you want to use a frog like on a river that doesn't have a lot of that, because you can rake those up weedless, they work good, make a lot of noise.
That's actually where I first saw it. There was a guy who used to do a video blog. He used to call it the Power Hour, where he'd go out every morning from like for the first hour of the day and just broadcast on YouTube. And a lot of times he would throw the top toad, and that's where I actually picked that up from. Nice. Cause it's out on the river. There isn't a lot of, you know, stuff there. You're mostly throwing it open water, looking for riffles and stuff like that. So
Exactly.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And I mean, on the river, my buddy Chang and I, we float a lot. We throw buzz baits or whopper ploppers. And the nice thing about like the top toad or even this Lunker hunt, not so much this, more the top toad because the weedless, is it still makes that noise of a buzz bait or a whopper plopper without grabbing everything in sight or being as expensive, right? I mean, whopper ploppers aren't cheap. I lost two of them on my last river trip and oh my gosh, that's there goes $30, right?
So for some reason, whopper ploppers are the only way I can catch the toothy fish, but more often than not, they get my lure before I get them. It seems like they're what I attract the toothy fish with. I don't know why.
You got to set the hook. If you got braid, I don't run leaders with toothy fish. With everything but frogs, you got to set the hook really fast, and then you'll be all right.
Gotcha. Let's see. So when then would you throw like a soft plastic frog?
I rarely do just because of the toothy fish, but the times I do is like, at my local lake, there's pike there, but not a lot. It's mostly bass. So early spring, like when the water hits about 60 degrees is when the kind of the rule of thumb for top water starts working. So I'll switch and I'll throw something like that. Cause a full on frog, you know, with a tails like these might not have the action or the noise. I've seen other guys actually take those plastic frogs and rig them up weedless, kind of like a Texas rig, mm-hmm. and put some weights on the front when they're spawning. And then what they'll do, and they do this, the frogs or the turtles, they'll throw them out on the beds and let them sink down. And then the fish will think that it's coming to eat, you know, their eggs, and then, you know, reaction bite from that, or they're protecting their nest.
That makes sense because whereas the top toe isn't going to sink hardly at all, this guy is going to sink almost right away.
Right. Yeah,
so
yeah.
Interesting.
So it's kind of like using it as a turtle or salamander.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That seems like a very good application, you know, bed fishing, and cause it's going to get down there and stay down there.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's see. So we talked a little bit about your retrieve. When you're sitting down, you're just kind of working it slow, mm-hmm. walk the dog style a little bit, seeing what you can bump off as you come by it. When you're fishing open water, what are you targeting?
Or do you
kind of avoid it in open water unless you're in the river where there's like riffles and
stuff it, like it kind of depends. So I've actually used frog in open water. And where I use it in open water is if I'm on a ledge, say I'm in like 3-4 feet of water and there's a ledge that drops off to 10, 15, 20 plus feet and it's pretty sharp and I know it's there from my map on my sonar. What I'll actually do is sit in the shallow and I'll cast the frog out into the open water and then retrieve it slowly and maybe give it a few tweaks or something, but again, not overdoing it. Back into the shallows, because a lot of times some bigger fish will sit on that ledge down deep and watch up for bait fish, for amphibians or whatever to be swimming shallower and then essentially, you know, trying to escape that deep water, getting back to their home in the shallow water. And that's actually been really productive, especially with the louder frogs like those lunker hunts or the topwater toad. Because that the noise kind of grabs their attention, and then they see that, and they come do a reaction bite to that.
Okay. And then on the other end of the spectrum, with mats and stuff, what's that like? I know I've heard where you just pull it along the top of the mat. If you hit an open spot, you pause and let it hang out in that little mm-hmm. open spot. Is that generally kind of how you do it?
Yeah, I do. And actually, that gets a little more complex in the sense that, I mean, for technique, what I do is it's very quiet. I'm listening. Like if you've been out with me fishing, frog fishing, as a client or a veteran or whatever, or a friend, I'm constantly going like this. I swear people probably think I have a tick or I'm, you know, taking frogs or something, but I listen. And then I look, if I hear a fish hitting top water, like dragonflies or something, I look for that new hole. And I'll cast just past it, reel it in really slow. Then you don't have to worry about action because your weed mats are so thick. They're doing the action for you because all the fish sees from underneath is the shadow from the frog. And then, yes, I'll pause briefly in the blow up hole and maybe give it a couple twitches. And if they don't bite, I'll go slow. And then they might come up after it, hit a new, if I miss them, new blow up hole, do the same thing. So I'm constantly listening and watching. The where it gets complicated is frog selection in that case. Mm-hmm. These in weed mats, no go.
Right.
Even like this trailer hook will come off. And Chang, my buddy, throws frogs and trailer hooks quite a bit. He's really good with it. I have a hell of a time because they always land upside down and they get snagged up. What I do, my favorite frog is the Booyah Pad Crasher. Price wise, weight wise, size wise, and I'm not affiliated with them whatsoever. They're just my favorite frog. But these cast really well, but they also are fairly light. They have a little bit of a weight in the butt here. The cast really light. I've had pike just rip these to shreds, and they still hold up. Like, I might have to give it a little squeeze to let some water out of a few casts. But they really work well on thick weed mats. Whereas, like, this is the Terminator frog. They're bigger, and they've got heavier weight in the back. These will cast for miles. Like, these are the farthest casting frog I found thus far. The problem is that heavier weight, they sit lower in the water. So in weed mats, they're a little trickier to pull in because they can tend to get back hook snagged up. So, you know, something like the Booyah, there's the Vicious Frog, I think, is another, it's really inexpensive. There's other ones. But just look for something that's not obscenely heavy to pull through those mats, because if you cast into the mat and it drops down below the mat and then you get weeds on the hook, then your whole retrieve is pretty much messed up.
Yeah, you might as well crank it back in at that time.
Clean exactly.
Right.
At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on, and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
Okay, so that's cool. I wish there was more of that around me, because it seems like an awesome way to fish. Yeah. And the few times that I have been in the area and been able to do that, I've had success. Mm-hmm. I remember being there was a lake near me that actually did have a lily pad area, but that area was off limits for fishing. Until they went to drain the lake and they made the lake completely open for fishing. And so I went back in there into that area once it was open and you were allowed to fish there. And oh my gosh, I had an amazing day. That, I mean, the bass were like thumping the bottom of my kayak as they were shooting around under there. I was like, holy cow, this is awesome. You know?
Nice.
So my experience has been, you know, not, you know, a ton, that the times I have been able to fish it, it's been amazing. So
nice.
As far as color selection, I know you talked about changing up colors before you change up retrieves. Do you just carry a bunch of different colors, or what do you start with? Or
I carry two colors. So you'll notice on frogs, you've heard of lures that are designed to catch the fishermen.
Absolutely.
I mean, you look at this, and it's just a gorgeous leopard frog. Same with this. Same with this. You look at the bottom, what the fish actually sees, they're all the same thing. Right? These two are white. This one's yellow. And then this one's actually black. So typically, I have a natural frog color. My main three frog are actually... truly black on the bottom. I look at the bottom. I don't look at the top because eagles see the top. I've caught an owl before, so the top is quite effective. But I usually go with a black, a white, and a yellow on the bottom, which Booyah is the kind of the blackish and green, and the Terminator's black. Terminators, I'm out of them because that's actually my favorite, is the black Terminator. It's like this, but it's black with... it's all black with yellow spots, which spots don't matter. The bottom's black. Usually what I do is I usually start with a green, which translates to like a white or a yellow bottom. Mm-hmm. That throws off less of a shadow on when the fish are looking up from underneath the mats. But if it's cloudy or really sunny, I'll throw a black one because that throws off higher contrast against the mats. Whereas, you know, if it's brighter like that, the fish might be kind of somewhat blinded from all that extra light. So that extra contrast will actually help quite a bit. I mean, if you can only get one color, I would get a black with a black bottom on it. Because that will be kind of your Swiss Army knife. It'll throw off the most contrast in every situation. 90% of the time, I start out with like this green with either white or yellow body, depending on which one I have in my tackle box and, you know, depending on when I got to the tackle shop. And then if they're short hitting that or if they're not coming after it quite a bit, I'll throw on a black in pretty much every time. I should frankly just start with black ones, but, you know, you've got, I mean, the Spro one, nothing against Bro, but they're pricey, and let's be real, the fish don't see any of this red other than, you know, maybe some of the tail. But I go with, you know, the vicious frogs. My son's starting to get into frog fishing. He's 5. I get him the vicious frogs. They're like $5 or $4. I got him a black one and then a green one, the white on the bottom. He goes, oh, I want this blue one. I want that. I'm like, no, they're all the same. Just pick out 2 colors and be done.
No, they definitely, I've seen such a range of gamut of colors and everything, yeah. But you're right. You know, just the ones I have here laying right next to me.
Yeah.
On the bottom, they're all very, very similar. So.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. The manufacturers do a, I mean, it's gorgeous. It looks like a real frog.
Oh, yeah, top. Yeah.
But the, yeah, that. Exactly. The fish don't see that. The fish
right, see, underneath.
That's... Yeah, and this is the Lunker Hunt in green. It's the exact same bottom as your black one there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. White and yellow. Yeah. So, yeah, just be aware of that. I mean... And that's the thing. Don't go buy 16 frogs, you know, buy 2 frogs, buy a black and buy a green, or, you know, something more natural. Be done with it.
Right. Right. That makes sense. I know we talked a little bit about trimming the legs on, the stranded frogs. Did you do anything with bending the hooks out? I know Tactical Bassin talked a little bit about that. If I remember correctly, or somebody, one of the frogging videos I watched did.
Yeah, it depends. So on the booyahs, these, I don't. I use them so much. And actually, the way that the hooks is probably hard to see on the camera. The way the hooks are shaped, they're right on the body. So I tried bending them up, and then I was getting issues where if I cast and they land upside down, it was snagging up on the weeds.
Mm-hmm.
If you were in a weedless area, like there was no weeds, and you just had to worry about branches and stuff, then it'd probably be safe. Whereas the Terminators, the hooks, I think it's just because the body's so much bigger. The hooks, I do have to bend up because otherwise my hookup ratio. So it really play with it. I mean, don't bend it right away on your $5 frog. As long as you are making sure you're counting to 3 for that hook set, if you feel when you set the hook that you have you have some weight at the end of that and it's coming out of their mouth, then, you know, take some pliers and bend it up a little bit at a time. It varies based on your technique and the frog, but, you know, Lunker Hunt, same thing. I used to use those. I still use them quite a bit, but, you know, they're a little more pricey than the booyahs, but their hooks are actually already curved up quite a bit. And the way the body shape, it comes to a point, and they're mm-hmm. so soft when the fish bites, you actually, other than the main problem I have with these is you have to wait a little longer on the hook set because their legs are so long. And I mean, you could, I've had them rip off from pike and bass and they actually work just as well. You could trim them, but you kind of hate to take a $7 frog and destroy it right away where it looks so nice. But you just wait a little longer on these and the hooks are actually bent up more versus the booyah and the Terminators are kind of forward. So these you don't have to bend. From my experience, it's mainly just the Terminator ones, just because the bigger body.
Okay. No, that makes a lot of sense. And then for like the top toads, they come with frog hooks where you don't really have to do much because they kind of rest right on the body. So I really like the hooks that came with the top toad. And then I think the ones I got, I think I had Bizbaits. I got some frogs from them. Sam Jones talked me into trying those out, and those are more of the almost the Texas rig style like you were talking about.
Yeah, they're kind of like a extra wide gap Texas rig, something you'd use on like a salamander or something like that, so you can't really go wrong with those, just getting the hook in the body right.
And those, I think the hooks I got from Bizbaits had like a screw lock front on them too, which made it nice. So how about I remember people saying they add like BBs in or rattles or other things like that. Have you ever messed around with that?
I haven't. And when I'm not frogging, I'm throwing spinner baits. And it's kind of the same way as spinner baits. People are like, oh, put a trailer on there to get some extra flappy flap. I keep it pretty much bone stock.
Okay.
Other than trimming the tails, I just keep it simple. Because, I mean, the frog's already expensive enough. I don't want to spend a ton of time getting them ready just to have some little 12-inch pike rip it off on me, right? So, I mean, if it works, if you're having a hard time, give it a shot. I also don't like adding more weight to the frogs because what I mentioned before, if you get in any weed mass and it pulls it down, then you're in a situation where you're snagging more stuff. I mean, I've had a few that have little rattles in the back or something like that. I mean, you could put them in the body, sure, but I've had them where they stick off the back and they just, even though they're tiny, they grab onto everything. And it just, especially if you get in open water, if you're retrieving through mats, it just distracts the fish and adds more weight that you don't need.
Right, right. No, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I figure, you know, that's the sound is going to probably be the last thing that attracts the action there. I mean, it's right. going to be the reaction from seeing it, you know, hop down into the open spot or, you know, yeah. whatever. Especially
it's more visual, right? I mean, yeah. you're mostly shallow with them. The fish are looking up. You're ideally in a frog or a area that has actual frogs in it, and they're used to that. I mean, the Spro I have and Booyah has them. All the brands have them, really. Lunker Hunt is a popper.
Thank you for bringing that up. I was going to ask about that. I totally forgot because I don't have any of those kind of frogs.
But okay.
I saw quite a few when I was looking at the different frogs that they have like a, you know, a popper front on them or like a chugging front, you know?
Yep. Yeah. And I have a bunch with a popper and then I have the ones with the tails on them. Kind of like the Lunker Hunt. Booyah, I think it's Booyah. They're on clearance here at Fleet Farm with a single paddle tail in the back. And frankly,
is that the Spreckle one too? Have you heard of that? I think
it might be the same. It's like it's this one.
It's almost like a paddle tail. Yeah.
I hate it. In open water, like in the spring, I got these on clearance this year. I'll probably use these in the spring, but in the summer here, even if you have, because this adds weight again, drags it down, and this is all like rubbery silicone. They're pretty smooth. But it goes down and you catch any weeds and it doesn't work anymore. It's just a really heavy frog. Whereas the popper, I mean, you could honestly, if you didn't have the budget to buy poppers and regular, get a popper because you can't go wrong. You retrieve this slow and it might make just a little bubble in front of them. But my wife's favorite bait from when she was a kid is a hula popper and it kind of reminds her of it. And mm-hmm. I'll use this on the Mississippi backwaters in the spring before the weed mats grow up, but the water temperature's up in the 60s where the top water's starting to work, and I'll, you know, glug it along. I mean, all the brands have them, kind of rip it. It's perfect for your river situation where you don't have anything, you know, vegetation-wise. You can help make some extra noise, especially the river has lots of noise as it is, so it just helps attract them.
Right, right. No, that makes sense. Any other situations where you're going to reach for a frog first before say anything else? Like I was saying, the guy that on my local lake that was saying about throwing them up under underhanging brush and stuff. That wouldn't seem to me like the first thing that I would think of, but I can see where it would be effective.
It is. I mean, that's the thing. Like on the river, we use a lot of spinner baits, a lot of buzz baits, a lot of popper ploppers. But if you're in a river or anywhere with heavy lay down and you're not wanting to throw like a Texas rig, whatever, soft plastic. I'm not a soft plastic person. I don't have patience for it. Throw a frog. The main thing, if you do that, I have 65 pound braid. I mean, I can rip a tree down with that. You know, just make sure you got the braid or you can slowly reel yourself in and untangle it. Or, you know, throw a cheaper frog. Don't go get one of the fancy $20 frogs and, you know, throw that into something like that. But any heavy cover, I've had it where there's like a bunch of rice paddies. There's a lot of rice paddies in the backwaters here. I want to throw up in those rice paddies. Sure, I could probably throw a buzz bait or even a Texas rig worm in there, but it's going to be kind of a nightmare. Throw a frog up in there. I mean, you could throw a frog on the road or in riprap or anything and just bounce it down. I've had people that I'm teaching there and they go up against some riprap and they throw it up into the riprap. They cast too far. I'm like, no, that's good. It's like a real frog. Just bounce it down into the water. Right. So it's very versatile. If you're in a situation where you're worried about snags at all, especially if you stick with a basic frog that doesn't cost an arm and a leg.
It seems, yeah, it's very forgiving.
Yes.
So that seems like ideal for a beginner. You don't usually think of a frog as a beginner's bait, but yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
I have my son, he has a Zebco 33 or something like that. He's 5. Mm-hmm. And he has his own kayak now. He's proud of paddling. I end up towing him around half the time, but he paddles quite a bit. And he casts a frog better than anything else. Because, I mean, this is actually his frog I took from his tackle box tonight. They're shaped perfect. They're aerodynamic. I haven't trimmed this one, obviously. I'm teaching him how to trim them. Nice. They're aerodynamic, and he can cast that thing anywhere, and I don't have to worry about having to paddle over and untangle him 65 times, like with a spinnerbait or something. So, and he, it's actually a confidence builder for him, even though he hasn't hooked up on anything, because he can cast so far with this. And at that age, that's all he wants is to cast. He can work on the technique later. Right.
So, right.
Yeah. It's very versatile.
Cool. When you're anything else you could think of off the top of your head with, when you were guiding that you would see people doing wrong, or obviously, you know, not waiting for the hook set, is one thing. Anything else you remember seeing them do, or, you know, that you would be constantly correcting?
The hook set is absolutely number one, because I'd hand them my frog, so the tail's already trimmed, and I tell them the thing. However, what I see quite a bit of is the reel down and reel. I mean, you get that pan fishing a lot, because pan fish are constantly tugging in the opposite direction. You don't really have to worry about that so much, but you have to keep that tension, especially in a kayak, because you're moving towards the fish, especially when you're hauling them through slop. You have to keep that line tension there. That's usually the number one thing, is they would reel, let off a little bit, reel up the slack and pull it. They just kind of keep doing this. No, you keep that hook set back and keep reeling tight. You loosen that reel, because those hooks are curved. So yeah, the barbs go in, but there's not much hook after those barbs. So you loosen any of that tension and they'll pop out. The fish will spit it out.
Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com.
So it's really not a bait that you're going to play the fish with. You're pretty much winching it in.
You winch it in. You give her the beans, especially on a kayak. On a boat, a little different, because especially if you're throwing a spinning gear and like 20, 30, 40 pound test. But if you're in a kayak, like if you don't have a frog rod for bait caster, what I was using before I had a frog rod was I had a bait caster. It was like a medium heavy six and a half foot. And I had, I think it was either 40 or 50 pound test on it. Which works pretty well for anything heavy, but even then, torque that drag down, especially in a kayak, is going to drag you around and just force it in. If you have any kind of fluoro or mono leaders on it for any reason, it's going to snap on you. But you cannot play the fish with frogs.
A, because they're going to get off a lot easier. B, because the more you give them to play, and when you're in that kind of sloppy stuff, that's more that they're going to get tangled around.
Exactly. They'll get stuck in the slop. That slop comes in and pushes against the frog. Plus, I mean, you're hauling in, you're hauling in like 20 pounds of slop sometimes if you're in thick pads, or if you're wrapped around a lily pad stem, those things. And that's where braid's nice, because the braid will actually cut that. Whereas mono or even fluoro, you're done. So,
right. No, that makes a lot of sense. So on a lot of my rods, I do run braid to leader setup, but I think, you know, when I, you know, have, you know, start frog fishing, I'm going to have to pretty much keep a frog specific rod that either that or just cut off my leaders and stuff. But,
And I've had, I mean, a lot of people around here, especially the pike, they use steel leaders. Mm-hmm. And actually this summer, Chang and I, my buddy Chang, he's on the Feel Free Fishing team. He lives near me. We fish a lot. We're good friends. He doesn't run leaders a lot, but this year he did because the way the fish are biting, he kept losing frogs. It's just, they were so aggressive at some point this summer. I hate leaders. I hate steel leaders because they get tangled up in my eyes and they get kinked and stuff, but we were actually throwing them this year. Usually we don't, because as long as you don't wait for more than about 5 seconds, if you wait too long, the fish will just completely inhale it. And if it's a pike, the teeth will just sever the line.
Right.
If you're in that sweet zone of like 3 to 5 seconds, you'll be all right. I've rarely lost a frog to a pike, but this summer for some reason. So, I mean, it's really what you're comfortable with. If you want to see a leader, go for it. Definitely would not do mono or fluoro, because even the fluoro, even though it's tough, a pike, if you ever had a pike tooth rub against your finger, you'll know it is like a razor blade. So.
Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing besides whopper ploppers on the river that I tend to lose is unfortunately jackhammers. Like, I don't know why, but I've had so many just, and it's not even like a hook set. It's like a clean slice. It's just like there and then it's gone.
And that's the thing. If a pike gets your frog, same thing. And that's the worst, because with a frog hook set, you're torquing it, right? Because you got a bunch of slops to deal with. That's the worst feeling, because you almost go backwards out of your seat because you're setting the hook and the line's already cut. Like you said, it's cut before you set the hook and you're just ripping on nothing. So
I definitely know that feeling. So I'm curious what the smallie bite on a frog would look like, because that's on the Susquehanna, that's what's there. And I imagine, they're kind of equal opportunity.
Oh yeah.
They'll destroy whatever it is, I am pretty sure. So
yeah, they're aggressive. We've caught them around here on frogs, and yeah, it's a blast because they're so strong, especially those river ones.
Oh yeah. Yep. Awesome. Well, I mean, we're getting up near an hour here. Anything else you can think of? Any other tips or tricks that you would, give somebody you're guiding or someone new to frog fishing?
So I don't usually tell people this because I like the element of surprise.
I like juice, yeah.
So a lot of times when I take people out, especially in the Mississippi backwaters where there's just pike galore. I mean, it's just pike. I mean, I have never gotten skunked there. I had one client get skunked, but it's because he drank too much the night before. I got him a lot of bites. He just couldn't set the hook. But a lot of people tend on a kayak to set their rod on the deck. So your frog's dangling just above the water like this. Or even on the retrieve, this happens. Pike are so aggressive towards frogs that I'm kind of used to it, but I don't tell people this when I take them out because I love the reaction. The pike will actually grab the frog as you're pulling it into your kayak when you're done with your retrieve. And you pretty much need a new change of shorts then, because you got this huge, this pike, even if it's not huge, they make a ruckus right next to your kayak splashing you. Or if you're laying your rod, I've actually had to grab rods because I've switched between a frog and a spinnerbait. I have the frog, or it doesn't really matter, but frogs, for some reason, they prefer hanging over the edge of the kayak, and they'll come up and grab it out of the water as I'm paddling or fishing with another lure and pull my stuff down in. So it's just a riot. I've taught a lot of people how to frog fish from all over. A friend of mine from Texas came up here a few years ago, and down there it's all reservoirs, and he goes, I had never really frog fished. We just, jig for bass. I'm like, let's go on this weed mat. He spent I have photos in there. I think he spent like 2 or 3 hours in that weed mat working bass. He never caught one, but he got close. He's like, this is so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's definitely I'm the same way. I fish the main lake that I fish is a reservoir, which is, like I said, why I don't have a lot of places there that I can fish. But man, when I have an opportunity to do it, I cherish it because it is unlike any other kind of lure. I mean, the blow ups are almost and almost every time. It's not like it's a subtle just, it annihilates it every time. So. Yeah.
And it's not like a buzz bait where you're cranking it along and it's making a bunch of noise and splash. I mean, that, don't get me wrong, that's fun. but a frog is so quiet and it's slowly working, and then all of a sudden sploosh, and then sometimes they'll hit it and the frog will shoot up in the air. It's just it is a lot of fun, and it's versatile. I mean, my main lake's a reservoir. Luckily we have a bunch of farmland around us, so all the fertilizer and cow manure runs off. We have plenty of weed mats in the summer, but no, you can use it anywhere, really.
Cool. All right. Well, I wanted to give you a chance to shout out any social media or sponsors that you want.
Sure. That you have. Yeah. So you can find me. The sales business we do is Small Craft Outfitters. That's where we sell Feel Free. And then Small Craft Fisherman is my blog. Haven't been blogging a lot lately because I've been so busy with the day job and stuff like that. But I'm going to get that fired back up here this fall. I have a bunch of stuff on there. I have stuff on frog fishing. I also have a YouTube account with Small Craft Fisherman. Got a lot of subscribers there with different stuff. You can see my owl video where I caught a owl on, I don't have it here, but it's one of those topwater bluegills.
Okay. So that like, was who makes that?
Live Target.
Yeah, Live Target.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. They're very live because the owl thought it was live. Yeah. If you have any questions, check out Small Craft Fishermen, Small Craft Outfitters, Facebook, all that stuff. You can reach out if you have any questions. I love to help people.
Awesome. Yeah, you've been a wealth of knowledge on frogging. So definitely interested in picking your brain on other topics too, man, because you definitely, you know, seem to have a ton of knowledge. So I appreciate you taking the time to come on with me tonight and, you know, dish some of that out to our listeners. So
yeah, appreciate you guys having me. Always like chatting with you guys. It's always fun.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it's been entertaining, and I will hope to have you again on before too long. So
yeah, let me know.
Awesome, dude. Well, everyone, be sure to check out Tyler's YouTube page. And if you're ever in Wisconsin, stop in and see him. I'm sure that would be fun too. Maybe he can put you on some fish or some, you know, yeah, a good place to frog and fish. And until next time, everyone, this has been the Bass Fishing for Noobs segment on the Paddle and Fin podcast, where we bring you the techniques, the tricks, and the tips to help you rip more lips. Have a good night, everyone.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode on Paddle and Fin. Don't forget to go check out our website at paddle, the letter N, and fin.com. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel at Paddle and Fin. If you got a question, comment, want to hear from a future guest on a future episode, feel free to email us at paddle, the letter N, and fin@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Paddle and Fin on Facebook and Instagram. Shout out to our show supporters, Angler, the Angler Button, and app just makes for a better time on the water and creates a virtual logbook for every fishing outing out on the water. Shout out to Rocktown Adventures, located in Northern Illinois, for all your kayaking, camping, and hiking needs. Shout out to Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com.
You're listening to the Waypoint Podcast Network, brought to you in part by HuntStand, the number one hunting and land management app.